B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney.
You know, this place that we work at, Broadcast House here on Stan and Haney Boulevard, very unique place. Very unique place.
Oh, yeah, they'd never allow it to be built today.
I'm not talking about the structure. I'm talking about their philosophy.
Well, again, it would never be allowed to be built today.
So, we...
I'm still... You know, I've worked here for multiple decades.
Yeah, I know.
I'm still not sure what the philosophy...
Yeah, well, let me give you an example. We have, what, six other radio stations under the roof here?
When I started, it was just us and an AM.
Yeah. Now they got some kind of cable TV Spanish thing and five, six radio stations.
Cable TV?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
They got a TV station. Spanish.
When they do that?
They just catch the satellite and run it through a loop. Never, but that's beside the point. That's besides the point. It's their TV station.
Why is nothing ever exciting? These guys run through a loop.
When you have multiple broadcasters, and you know this, if somebody catches a cold, everybody catches a cold, unless you have the forethought and knowledge being broadcasters to prevent things. So D-Train comes in today, I guess, overnight. When he went home last night
to
this morning, he has himself a cold. He's got the runny nose, and he's got the Halls and the Dayquil that gives you the jitters unless you take enough of it.
German napkins.
So.
Well, wait a second. It gives you the jitters unless you take enough of it.
That's what he said.
I told him, eat enough of it, it balances out.
I said to him, I said, you're taking that Dayquil stuff. I says, the Nyquil will put you to sleep, but you take that Dayquil, and what it does is it gives you the jitters.
Yeah, but you know how alcoholics get the jitters unless they start drinking?
Same thing. He said if you take enough of it, it calms you down. So he's under pills. He's taking pills again. So I said to him, we're a broadcast facility with people spreading germs.
And I said, I'm behind glass. Problem solved.
He's sneezing over there and all that. And he said, oh, I'm in here by myself. I said, Shirley, go see the engineer and get some Lysol.
Who's Shirley?
No. Get some Lysol. There's no Shirley. And he said, tried that before.
It's not in the budget.
He said, it's not in the budget to get Lysol. What they use, and I wrote it down, you can either go to engineering and get white vinegar that kills everything, or you can see the DJ across the hall. She likes to burn sage. But Lysol, there's no Lysol. You can burn sage.
White vinegar.
Or you can splash some white vinegar on it because it kills everything. This is the attitude.
And that's
for
our...
For two decades you're talking about, this is the way it's always been.
Best practices.
Best practices. There should be...
Health and sanitation.
There should be, in every studio, if I was running things, again, stand for a day running things, there should be hand sanitizer, the big gallon drums of it in every studio. Clean your hands before you go on the air.
I gotta buy Kleenex.
I was going to say, how's that work? He can't even have his own box of Kleenex.
I know. There should be Lysol. Done so because the engineer gets mad because if you spray Lysol near the board, the control board. Hey, who's that looking in here?
I don't know.
Somebody was staring in there. We're looking at us like we're zoo animals.
There's something at them.
I'll appreciate it. I think it's a new sales guy who doesn't know his way around here yet. But he doesn't like the Lysol on there because that's going to ruin the electronics. So don't spray it directly at stuff, sprayed in the air or something.
Mm.
But we don't have any kind of disinfectant for people to have preventative care from that. It's like, we need some Lysol in here. We need some hand sanitizer. You can burn sage or we got white vinegar.
Do we have any one ply over there? Since I haven't bought any Kleenex lately.
I got some German Kleenexes.
You
want to
try one of his German Kleenexes?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to have anything that he has.
Yeah, that's true. Again, because of
they set up your equipment
of germs.
Where did you get German tissues?
From a German guy.
He's in his computer business. This is true, and I hope I can say this.
Absolutely.
He has a couple of Kraut clients.
Mm-hmm.
He goes over there, and they love him so much when he goes over to work on their computers.
Gets along with Jerry, does he?
Yep.
He gets German everything. He's brought into the radio station German candies and stuff that for my daughter. Straight, not even USDA inspected. It's just straight from Germany.
Smuggled in from the fatherland.
Well,
cookies.
I wouldn't worry about USDA. They're very meticulous.
Yeah, cookies, candies, stuff that you and I would normally never even eat, and he gets German
tissue. I guarantee they
and
were not handled by any minority.
No, and it's the best quality.
Purarian.
And so he comes in after working with his clients, and they give him all kinds of stuff. And now he's blowing his nose with...
Yeah.
Yeah. J-A explanation point.
Yeah. High quality German tissues.
That's what Jeb should use.
Yeah?
Yeah. Jeb exclamation point uses yeah exclamation point.
Hey, I need answers to a couple of things before we take the break.
Okay.
A, is Dave the Waterman out of lockup?
Don't know.
We're going to call him up and find out. B, what was the vote?
Well, he was detained yesterday.
Yeah, what was the vote on Whiteyville?
Whitesboro. Okay.
Whitesboro. Do we know that?
I can call Francesca right now.
Call Francesca of Whiteboro.
Yeah, he meant to call the liquor store, but you ended up with what?
Boulevard Trailers.
I'd like to know what the final vote is. Do they keep...
Find out if we can get a deal on a third wheel.
Do they keep the city symbol of the white man choking out the Indian, which is real, by the way, or do they go to something worse?
That's what I would do if I was Whitesboro. If that gets taken away, then you put up something worse.
We talked about it yesterday. There is a small little enclave, a small little borough, a one-stoplight town in...
What do you say, like 3,000 people?
Yeah, upstate New York.
Virtually all white. There's an Indian that lives there, and they've got a nail place, so there's Asians.
Yeah, so that takes it down to 97% white. In Whitesboro. And their town symbol that's been probably flying on their flag and at city council meetings since the 1800s is a very impressive symbol, you know, like Florida has theirs. And it's a picture of the white man choking out the Indian. And somebody found it very offensive. And their excuse was, no, that's two people wrestling. But no, it's a Native American being choked out by the white man.
80% vote to keep it.
80% yes.
Yeah.
So it stays.
So it's staying, correct, Francesca? Correct.
Why aren't we talking?
Yeah, why can
you
we
want to talk?
Yeah, I put Francesca on. Is she willing to talk to us? Okay. Hi, Francesca. Hi.
Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. It's Stan and Haney from Fort Myers, Florida.
Hi. How are you?
Very good, Francesca. So you did have the vote and 80%?
Yes. 80% of the voters decided to stay with the original symbol. And there is also a second vote tonight that will be taking place at 7 o'clock.
Why is there a second vote?
Because they want to just see how many more people in the area want to vote to keep the symbol the same or to change it.
Okay, so the 80% is just the first half of the voting.
Correct, yes.
So there could be a sudden shocking change
tonight
where
yes, there
could...
is a second vote tonight.
So, and Haney and I were talking about this. Can I ask you this? How long has that seal, that symbol, been with you guys in Whitesboro?
I believe it's been around for years. I'm not sure.
As long as anybody can remember, I guess.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. Did you guys, because if we saw today, it's the white man choking out the American Indian.
Correct, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
The wrestling stand.
And what was the alternative going to be if that is defeated? I hope it's
worse.
There were
several different choices that they tried to come up with, but apparently, again, the residents of Whitesboro, they just decided to, you know, they think that it's proper to keep, you know, the original symbol that has been
yes.
in the area for years.
Francesca, can I ask you, who stirred up all this trouble? That's been the symbol forever. Who
one
complained?
Troublemaker. There's got to be one troublemaker.
I honestly could not tell you that. I mean, I don't know too much about what's going on. I am actually not a Whitesboro resident.
What the hell am I talking to you then for?
She's a nice lady.
And she's providing answers.
How do you know this? Where do you live?
I actually live in Utica, New York, which is...
I know where Utica is.
Yes, I am a Utican.
Yeah, that's where the Ithaca Gun Shop is, and you can,
yes.
And it's beautiful country up there.
Yes, yes. We're getting ready for a big storm that's supposed to hit us tonight.
How far away is Whitesboro from Utica?
It's not even 5 minutes.
Really?
Yes.
So are you in Whitesboro now, or are you in Utica?
I work in Whitesboro, yes.
Oh.
I work at Boulevard Trailers in Whitesboro, New York.
How much for a double wide?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for.
I'm looking for something snazzy.
Luxury.
Well, we sell travel trailers.
Oh, like so a Winnebago, like
you
a Winnebago
have to tow behind your vehicle,
like a Winnebago, or just a tow,
like a horse trailer, utility trailer,
trailer tow behind.
Oh, a tow behind.
Any fifth wheels?
Yeah, any fifth wheels?
A couple. Yep, we have two used.
Two.
Well, Price is Right.
I'm looking at new. hey, got anything that sleeps five?
Yes. We have stuff that sleeps eight.
Eight?
Oh.
So if you want to get a little crazy on the weekend.
You need a big
pickup.
Is it
well-appointed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wall-to-wall carpeting?
All the bells and whistles you want.
Workable shower?
Absolutely.
Flushable toilet?
Of course.
All right.
You need a flushable toilet. Come
Absolutely, on. If you're in the wilderness in Utica.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of places in Utica where there's nothing.
Yeah, you are 1,000% right. That's why I live in the city.
So you work there. What kind of town is Whitesboro, though? I mean, is it a nice, peaceful town?
The pictures we saw.
Gorgeous.
I mean, it's a very beautiful town. It's, you know, very small, very, you know, everyone basically knows everyone. And it's, you know, very, you know, just a regular hometown. And there's lots of different things to do around here.
What do people do in Whitesboro? What do they do for fun?
What do they do for fun in Whitesboro?
Yeah, drink.
Yeah, drink. Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, yeah.
So they go to the high school football games, you know, any of the sporting events, whatever's going on during whatever sports season.
What's their mascot? White man choking out an Indian?
No, that's a seal.
It's a warrior. What?
Oh,
Whitesboro Warriors.
Okay. Well, when I went to school in Connecticut, we were the Warriors, too.
Yep. Yep. Well, yeah. I went to a local high school in Utica, and we were Proctor Raiders.
Oh, the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Yeah. But how long after, since they want to go and change the seal of Whitesboro, how long before they want to go and change the name of the Warriors? That's a good question. Because you got an agitator in Whitesboro, one that's
somebody's
starting
stirring
trouble.
Things up.
Yep.
Yeah, the agitator of what's going on would be who?
Who are you talking to right
Indians
there?
At the casino.
At the casino? They're making out like bandits at the casino.
At the casino, the local Indians are the ones that are making a big, huge fuss about what's been going on.
But we just looked at the stats. You got probably, it's 97%
white.
They're
after the Washington Redskins, too.
Oh, tell them.
Now they're going after the NFL.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Unbelievable.
And they have everything under the sun, and they just want more and more and more.
Jeez, these Indians.
They're the instigators of what's going on. They were actually at the vote last night.
And?
And I'm assuming they were not too happy, but oh well. You can always get what you want now, can ya?
Leave Whitesboro alone.
Yeah, leave it alone. Leave Whitesboro alone. Is the casino right?
It's been here for years, so why change it?
Is the casino on Whitesboro land?
No, the casino is not on Whitesboro land.
Where is the casino? In
the
Utica?
The casino is located in Verona.
How far away is that?
It's about maybe 15, 20 minutes.
You tell them to shut up.
Is it a nice casino?
Yeah, is it a nice one? They got all the slots and all that stuff and table games?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Well.
The casino is quite the place to go to.
Wow, yeah. Top flight entertainment.
You can go to any of the nightclubs that they have there.
Yeah.
You can have a couple cocktails, have some dinner.
Uh-huh. Do they get big-time entertainment?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have a big concerts that come here, you know, big stars that like to come to the casino and perform.
I'm looking at it right
now.
We
also have the Utica Auditorium, which is home of the Utica Comets, the hockey team.
What league are they in?
The league.
Are they in the AHL?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they are. Yep.
Yeah, that's good hockey.
We have Chris Young, the country star, coming to the Utica Aud to do a concert.
Good deal.
On February 27th. So. A lot of exciting things going on in the area.
Can we call
That's
you?
That's a big resort.
Can we call you back tomorrow to find out what the final vote was?
Absolutely. You can give me a call back. I will be here from 9 in the morning until 7 at night.
Oh, you are a good
You're
girl.
You're a very nice lady, Francesca.
You are fantastic.
Thank you. You guys are very nice, too.
We'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
All right. Sounds good, guys.
All right,
have
bye.
A good night.
Bye-bye. You found a winner there with
Sounds
her.
Like her second job's on the tourism board.
Yeah, but she's a good lady.
Yep.
She knows what's going on up there.
Good thing I didn't get a hold of the liquor
store.
Well,
why don't you discreetly talk to a man who explained it to her?
Who knew it? It was the damn Indians. They're the ones that are firing all this up. They don't like the white man choking out the Indian on the town symbol.
Well, I'd say that's a nice looking casino.
You're looking at that resort there, I'd say the Indian's choking the white man pretty good.
Yeah. We'll be back. Ahoy. Jesus. Ahoy.
Yeah.
Hey. Billy?
Yeah?
Hey, Billy. Hey, Billy, how are you?
Hey, Stan.
How are you doing, buddy? Everything good? Hey, school's out officially now. You don't have to cut school anymore. School's out for summer.
Yeah.
Woo!
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, cut school, cut grass, all the same.
And they're not making you go to summer school, are they?
No.
Did you pass? Did you get to go to the next grade?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's a positive thing. And cutting grass in the summertime's good. It gets you a little money, a little pocket money for the chicks.
Yeah, well, I have to if I want Xbox Live.
Oh, so it's not like to go and hang out with a chick if you want Xbox Live. That's what you do.
Well, I should say it's for chicks and beer and stuff.
There we go.
There
That's what
you go.
Oh, you hear him, Billy? Dave's here.
There you go. My man. And you know what, brother? Don't cut grass, man. Sell it. That'll get you a lot further padded
pockets. We're talking that way to Daddy when he called.
Hell yeah.
Damn right, Billy.
What's up, superstar?
What's happening, my man? How are you?
Nothing much. You know how it go.
Brother, right on. I know all about it, bro. When you're in demand like me and you, the sky's the limit, man.
Yeah, it ain't nothing but a thing.
That's right. Just go through and just pimp the streets, man.
Hell yeah.
Can't you guys talk like this on your own? You got his cell phone number, don't you, Dave?
You know.
I'll give it to you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what, Billy?
Do you want Dave's? I'll give you Dave's.
Yeah, Stan's got it on handy right now.
Or just no homo or anything, but I don't ask guys for their number.
Hell no, man. That, you didn't hear me asking you, Billy,
yeah,
right?
You did.
That's all homoed out.
Here, I'll give it to you so the two you can text, okay?
Okay.
Damn, bro, you're out of school, man. You going to do that that night school next year?
Let's see.
I don't know. Hey, Dave.
Yeah, bud.
How's that pot magazine?
Bro, it's pretty good. I'm telling you, it tells you about sex with chicks and smoking bud while you're doing it.
Billy, it's 305.
Okay.
Stan?
78.
Okay.
1.
Mm-hmm.
5-8.
Okay.
8-0.
Okay.
And you can put it under the same way I have it on my phone. Dave Idiot.
Don't listen to him. Dude, he's jealous, Billy. Stan is so jealous.
You're going to put it under Superstar.
Damn right.
Hell yeah.
Put it up Big Pimp.
So is there a reason you called, Billy?
I
mean, the
up,
two
man?
Of you can chat like this now, texting. You're texting in that shorthand stuff. What's up? School's out. You should be doing stuff.
Well, I heard you guys talking about You're going shark fishing?
Hell yeah, bro. Is that not awesome?
That is extremely cool.
Yeah, man. I'm taking Stan out, man. He's going to get out there and just land some gnarly big ones, man.
Do you think that I could go shark fishing one day?
Oh.
There you go, Dave. You want to take your new...
My buddy, Billy.
Who's 12... And then you, 45-year-old man,
Stan.
Till you going out like buddies.
Well, no, I'd be like a, what do they call it, like a big brother.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's
how that
works.
You got to get parental permission and all that.
So like, Dave,
yeah,
what do I need to do to get ready to go shark fishing? What do I need to get?
You don't need you know what, Billy? You need to get yourself some beer. All right, make sure you got your beer. Whatever you're going to smoke on that day.
Right on.
Yeah, right on. Okay, so your beer, whatever you're going to smoke on that day, Billy,
yeah.
And some snacks, and you're good to go. Everything
That's
else
if
is,
he's going with your buddy. If he wants to go with somebody, you're going to have him go with us. Then maybe the two of you should go.
Well, he's not going. Well, I don't know.
I don't want to be caught on a boat.
That's true, Stan.
Out at sea with a minor. That is out there with sharks.
Yeah, that wouldn't look good. Billy, we'll set up a separate trip, man. We'll have a big rager out there.
Yeah, where the two of you can go lovers.
Well, that would be...
Stan is so jealous, Buzz, man. He knows I'm cool. And people don't come up and say, hey, man, you know what, Stan? You're cool. They don't do that to him, man, you know?
No, I'm 57 years old, okay?
Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah, bro.
What I meant was... Like, it would be awesome to go out fishing with you,
right.
But I meant, like, if I was just going to go, what do I need?
Oh.
Well, Billy, you have a boat, or do you know somebody that has a boat?
I know this one rich kid,
yeah.
And I think I could take him, and so maybe I could bully him into it.
Okay. All right. So, we got a boat.
Jack
now
the boat.
Now what, Dave?
Jack the boat. You're going to need you some bait, Billy. You're going to need some shrimp first off, start with, right? You got poles. Get some poles, right? You got
you
any
got
fishing
any
poles?
Fishing poles, Billy?
Hold on. First things first. So, I'd go to Publix and buy shrimp?
No, Billy. You got to go to a bait shop. You know what a bait shop is, right? They sell fishing stuff. It's
got that place down in Bonita, Master Bait and Tackle.
There you go, Billy. Go to You like that? Yeah, go to Master Bait and Tackle, Billy. Perfect for you. They'll get you all set up, bait, all the tackle you need.
That's hilarious.
You like that? Jeez. You got to go fishing, man. So you're going to get some bait, Billy. And you're going to
Master Bait and Tackle.
Mhm.
So, they sell shrimp there. It's like a seafood place.
It's Master Bait and Tackle, Billy. It is a place.
Is it a seafood place, Dave? Do they have seafood?
You smoking, man?
What kind of shrimp should I get?
Live
like fried
shrimp.
Shrimp or cold shrimp?
You need live shrimp,
you gotta
Billy.
You got to go with the peel and eat.
You need live shrimp, Billy. Are you burning one, man?
What should I say, Dave?
You need live shrimp, Billy. Go walk into Masturbate and Tackle and say, hey, man, I need a dozen live shrimp. I'm going fishing. And they'll hook you up. You got a bucket?
Yeah, you need a shrimp bucket.
You don't have a 5-gallon bucket sitting around the house? Empty paint bucket, something, nothing?
Maybe I could find something like that.
Right.
Do they put them, like, in a bag, like a goldfish?
No, Billy. You got to put them in a bucket, man. And you got to get an aerator
help
going.
Help the kid. He was going fishing for the first time.
I'm trying to help him out just to get him out there for a little while.
Doesn't understand this stuff.
All right. You know what? Get you some frozen bait,
Billy. And is a shark going to bite a shrimp?
No, man. He's going to fish for other fish to catch the shark. But first off, he just needs to go fishing before he goes shark fishing, Stan.
Why don't you just throw a line? Go to one of the bridges around where the river is and just throw a line over.
Yeah, there's stuff everywhere, Billy. You can go fishing all over the place around here.
Get yourself an old cane pole.
Jump on the bicycle and head out, man. You'll have a good time.
So you want me to ride my bike from Lehigh to Bonita?
What are you talking about, Lehigh Acres? You're just feet away from the ocean, aren't you? The commercials?
Mm-hmm.
Is there like a fishing pole store?
Once again.
That's a good question, Dave.
Once again, go to a place, and Stan called it, Master Bait and Tackle. Tackle is what you're going to need to go fishing with.
What's tackle, Dave?
Those are hooks. That is line. Those are poles. Your fishing reels. They're going to have all that, Billy. You go in there with, I don't know, how much you think you can steal from your mom?
I don't know. I think my dad had a fishing pole once.
All right.
And I asked him if I could use it, and he said, no, I'm getting rid of that. It's nothing but an effing bird's nest in there.
Oh, I got all spooled up. Not cool. You just need to take all that line off and put new line on there. Take them, have them do it for you, Billy. You'd be fine, man.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And so if I get a fishing pole and line and a hook.
And some shrimp.
Okay.
A frozen bait, maybe some squid or something.
A squid?
Yeah, Billy. I mean, it's some frozen bait. Just ask them. They'll give you whatever they got on hand.
And so then you just jab the hook at it?
Yeah, just put it right through, throw the line in the water, and just let it sit, man. Then you just sit and wait.
But if it's frozen, wouldn't it be as hard as a brick?
It'll thaw out, Billy. The water's like 90 degrees almost.
Yeah, the water will thaw that out, Billy.
Fast.
That squid. You know what a squid is?
No.
No?
Like an octopus?
Yeah, kind of like a mini octopus.
I read 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea for a book report.
Yep, that's kind of like that. Just make it mini.
Mini?
And it's already dead.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. It's not going to bite you, Billy.
But if it's frozen solid, how do I get it on the hook?
Oh, you can get it.
Yeah, the hook right through.
Now, let me ask you this, Billy. Suppose you do catch something. Is it going to be something that you want to keep and eat, or are you going to throw it back, or what?
Well, I don't even know. So I've got something on my hook that's like an octopus, and then I throw it in the water, right?
Right,
Dave.
Right.
And then how do I know if a shark bites it?
You're going to feel that reel just take off running, Billy. You're going to feel it. That the rod's going to bend over. And
it's going to snap that cane pole.
That baby's going to just start zipping away.
And it just goes in the water and the shark swims off with it?
You don't let go of the pole, Billy. You hold on to the pole and start reeling in.
You just said it would run away from me.
You did say that.
The fish will run. The reel will start spinning.
Oh.
All right. Right on.
Then you reel it into the boat. Stay away from its mouth.
Does it take a long time?
How long does it take?
It just depends on how big it is, man. But are you smoking weed today, Billy?
What should I say, Dave?
Say no. Say no.
No.
All right. There we go.
See, he hinges on every word.
He loves
every word. He loves you. Loves you. What should I say? What should I say,
Tell
Dave?
Me. No. No.
What should I say?
You smoke? No. No.
What should I say?
No.
We'll be back.
Would that be in Matt Lachey or on Matt Lachey?
I don't know.
I think it's on. So, like, you're not in Cape Coral. You're on Cape Coral.
No, you're in Cape Coral because that's landfill.
Yeah.
What do you want? Get out of my face.
He's not. He's just trying to do his job, man.
I hate his hands. Just grab it.
I like when he looks at me through the glass. He'll point, and he'll do the...
Yeah.
Like I'm supposed to read
like
there's
some kind of lip reader.
Yeah, Kool-Aid does the same thing.
I hate that.
Like, write something out if you need, or come in here and talk to me.
I'm deaf, but I don't sign.
This is a pleasure to have this guy on the show with us. From the Late Show with David Letterman, the longtime announcer of the show, and just one funny guy. Alan Coulter is on the phone with us. Alan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, K-Rock. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Big Red.
Good. Glad you recognize me.
I was just, you know, it was found out you're coming on the show, which we've been trying to get you for a while, and we sent our crack guy, John, and he...
He's beating it, though. I mean, he's going to meetings.
Yeah, he is.
Kool-Aid did a good job.
Yes, he did. And you have been on the show since 1995?
Yes, I was 13. 12 years now. It's been a long time. came on that long ago as an announcer. On the first day, Dave said, hey, we got a pool outside on 53rd Street, Olympic diver. Alan, do you swim? And the next thing I knew, I was on my back floating in the pool.
You know, the thing is and I got to commend you, although, you know, you're all right looking. But they tell you, you know, if you're going to do one of those comedy skits, take your shirt off, walk around in your underwear. I mean, the first time you look at that, is there a time where you said, no, I'm not doing that, I'm an announcer?
Yeah, every single time. and that's what makes you and I clinically depressed.
Seriously, and I've said this, it is some of the funniest stuff in the world that you do on that show.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
And we joke around here, we wonder every time that you come on, you're going to be TV's whomever.
Right.
That's right. Little Jimmy was the last time. Well, last night I made a sexual innuendo and a come on to Rosie, and we're waiting for the call, but it hasn't happened yet either.
That delivery is incredible.
Thank you.
And from what I understand, and I guess reading about what you've done, and this was the same thing with, like, Bill Wendell, who preceded you on the Letterman show. You were the voice guys, the announcers for a lot of other stuff, whether it be for the network or television shows. I mean,
that's right. It was kind of weird with Bill because back in the early 80s, actually the late 70s, Bill was doing To Tell the Truth. And I took over for Bill and To Tell the Truth did the last 5 years of that show. And I was still doing To Tell the Truth when he moved over to Dave's show on NBC. And I had two shows on the air, couldn't do that. And then when Bill left here, I came in here.
And, tell me if it's true or if it's not true. It just seems. It just seems with Letterman and his people who have been with him for so many years. Once you have shown that you can do the work, he seems very loyal with the people that he surrounds himself with.
Absolutely, he is an extremely loyal person. You notice every once in a while, a comedian that you haven't seen in years comes on. They come on here because those are the guys that Dave knew from back when, and he gives them breaks and he keeps them on the air.
Yeah, and
there's a lot of loyalty in the family too, and it is a family. It's a great bunch of group, a bunch of people.
Unfortunately, that loyalty is not always returned, Jay Leno.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
Where did you learn to take a punch?
Where did I learn to take? You know, that's a very good guy. The thing I'm waiting for most on this show is to get recognition from the Stuntman's Union. And every stuntman that comes on here tells me, we got to give you something.
I swear
and
to God.
I'm still waiting.
That long-running bit that you did with the wrestler guy, whether you were dating his wife or he'd come out, and he would literally
do the wrestling punch, and you would take that punch so perfectly. I said,
you have no idea. Working with these stunt guys, and Brian is unbelievable. You'll see the same guy, Brian, for the last 12 years I've been working with Brian, at least 9 of them. 12 years ago, I started hitting people. Really. And Dave gave me 3 years of hitting people and getting mad and then going off and belting them. And then one day somebody said, why doesn't somebody hit back? And we've never stopped that. But when we do those things, I choreograph them, and I never get hurt from the stuntman. Every single one of those things is camera angle, him holding me a certain way. Rather an easy thing to do. If I'm gonna hurt myself in one of those things, it's because I turned the wrong way. It hasn't happened yet.
And it is true, like Hollywood style of the camera angle and the way the guy throws the punch. And if it comes across looking real, it's awesome. But you, at times, have been known to fall off your stool.
Me. That's just you can't help it. Once you get into one of those things, you just try to do your all. And I throw the chair out from under me and throw myself against the back wall. So far, it's been pretty good. But, I worry about that, too.
There, I was watching something. It might have been on the late night website where you fell. And there was the microphone tripod.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing went flying. And you were in free fall off your stool.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that tripod missed him by, like, an inch. And had that gone into your leg and impaled you.
I would have been taken care of by CBS for the rest of my life. I've been trying to do that for years.
Well, opportunity missed.
Because I've never had the privilege, and I've gone to New York so many times and wanted to go see the show. Tough ticket to get.
Yeah, well, you couldn't get anyway because you're too recognizable.
Exactly.
You couldn't get in here. Yeah, the audience would go crazy. We'd have to keep you in the green room. It's a tough ticket, but with a little on the extra, a little on the side.
Don't realize how small that theater actually is.
461 seats. He could have made it much bigger. He likes to see everybody. It's a warm atmosphere there.
And before the show,
warm atmosphere.
It's
about 50 degrees.
Yeah, a little bit of sadism, masochism. It's a warm atmosphere.
But before the show, he does actually go out into the audience and talk to them for a little while.
Talks to the audience for every show.
What's he say?
He says,
welcome to the Late Show with David Letterman. We are not giving you cars. This is not Oprah. And then we start the show.
Wow. And the thing is, now do you do anything as far as warming up the audience before?
No, used to on all the other shows I've done, not here. Got a great guy here named Eddie Brill, who's a New York comedian and now national. And he's been warming up the audiences for the last 6 or 7 years.
So what the hell are you doing before the show starts?
Absolutely nothing. It's a good way to make a living.
Yeah, I guess it is. And the skits, the comedy sketches that you do, and you say, like, when you fall off the stool and all that, that's all you. How much input do you have in the writing of those things?
None. The only input I have is to say I won't do this and I won't do that. These guys are terrific because they change everything.
I don't know where your line is. You've come close. I mean, you hit the creep factor.
Oh, yeah.
with the drinks thrown in the face, the shirtless walking around in the underwear, singing the hip-hop stuff.
I'll tell you guys, I know you have that same feeling working with each other. You're just a kid. It brings us back to the time we were 10 years old and Mom and Dad didn't let us do the things we're doing now and saying now.
So where have you said no?
Oh, just about every day. Oh, you'd be surprised at the stuff we haven't put on the air.
Would we like it?
You might like it. Mom and Dad would give me up for dead, but you might like it.
Not for mass consumption, huh?
No.
You're a grandfather.
Yep.
Are any one of your grandchildren old enough to see Grandpa on TV doing this
yet.
Stuff?
No, not yet. I've got a 1.5 and a 4.
Now, the 4-year-old might.
Might get scarred.
Permanently damaged.
Yeah. Actually, my kids still call me up and say, are you on tonight? And I say yes. And they say, should we look? And I say no. So, can't do it to my grandkids.
I didn't know this until you go and you put 2 and 2 together. I guess to this day, you can still turn on the USA Network. You used to be the voice of USA Network.
That's right. For 10, 11 years, it's the only voice.
And you can still hear, like, when an infomercial comes on.
Yeah, once in a while.
He'll come on and tell you, has nothing to do with the network.
Every once in a while. Did it for a lot of cable companies, a lot of them.
Well, USA
Sports Channel for about 5 years, the only voice on that, too, and most of the movie channels every once in a while.
God, USA Network, that used to be nothing but Night Flight.
Oh. USA Network used to be so great. So great.
And
you remember Night Flight? That was great.
Yeah.
You got your start in radio, obviously.
Yeah, I did.
Where did you start your radio career?
Started at WGVA, Strauss Broadcasting, up in Geneva, New York. Was going to college near there, and they wouldn't give freshmen and sophomores a chance to be on the air on the college station, so I went out and made some money.
Ah, yeah. Now Haney, who has just a beautiful radio voice, said he got that voice. He was 15 when he first went on the air, and the voice has never changed. Was your voice always like this, or did you grow into it?
No, I did. My father had this voice. I have the same voice. My brother has the same voice. It's a family thing. I don't know. It had to be the same thing with Haney, too.
Yeah, my brother has the exact same voice, but he's a much nicer, more well-balanced person.
So is mine.
And has a career.
So is mine. I want to know why it's not Noel Onik and Haney.
You honestly want to go and say Noel Onik every single day?
I think Noel Onik is great. I used to take it when I had an upset stomach, and it saved my life many times.
You were an English teacher. Would you be able to correctly pronounce the name? If I spelled it to you, Nawalaniec, how would you pronounce it? English teacher?
Noel Onik.
That's Nawalniak. That's how I always say it.
Well, the ethnic families used to, you know, the fresh off the boat, it was Nawalniak.
Well, you got to tell John that. Kool-Aid doesn't even know that. I asked him three times, and he said Noel Onik, just like Noel Onik.
But
that's
the
how
way
Stan pronounces
that's
it.
That's how it's pronounced.
Everybody knows it's Nawalniak.
Yeah. You got a great group there. You know, I came down to Naples about 4 weeks ago and played at Tiburon.
Oh, that's a great track.
Yeah, you got some great golf in that area. So here, we can only play 5 months a year, and now with winter lasting a long time, maybe 3.5 weeks. And down there, it's fantastic.
Kool-Aid was telling me, though, that you are familiar with our area.
I am. I am. Love the restaurants down there. The Marco Island. I got some friends in Marco Island. I got some friends in Naples. And into the Fort Myers Airport, of course, all the time.
And this area, it's just gone crazy. It's like where we are in Estero. We're halfway between Fort Myers and Naples.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to actually a real estate guy who's lived in Estero his whole life. And he goes, it's like all of a sudden you wake up and we didn't move to another city. Another city came to us. The booming of this area is incredible.
No, it's a great area. You really are in a perfect place.
And it's one of those things that we find that people who may be of celebrity status, they used to go down here because they could be anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
They would buy nice homes down here. A lot of them still do nice homes down here, and they can actually go and be themselves and not worry about anybody running up to them and bothering them. And you'll be surprised. Oh, I've heard your show before. And it's like, my God, I had no idea you hung around down here.
Yeah.
A lot
of
people coming around.
Yeah, that's just great. I know you guys are fans. John told me that you were fans of Letterman Joe for a while.
Huge fans.
That is great. And there is the most enjoyable thing that I go through, and I know you feel this way about each other, is I just watch this man, and he's a genius. We have a number of geniuses on the show. I mean, he is so quick and so witty, and I've been a fan of his for a long time.
And
Paul is a musical genius.
Unfortunately, I think he's just so underappreciated by the vast majority of the country. It amazes me any time. I just can't see any possibility of how Leno could ever beat him on any given night.
You're absolutely right. The people who watch him on a regular basis, or people who watch Dave, love Dave and understand and have a sense of humor and are intelligent. When somebody tells me I don't watch him because I just prefer another show, it sort of brings them down a level in my estimation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless they've got a pretty good reason for it, and I'll tell you, I think Leno's a very funny guy and a very nice guy too. But I don't understand why more people don't watch Letterman. I think a lot do.
I will just say, you know, and it's weird that I kind of take it personally. It's just because I have watched Letterman for so long, and I remember on the NBC show how he would just talk Leno up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just more than any other comedian that I've ever heard. Just Jay Leno is such a talented guy, and the way that that worked out is just something that I'll never understand.
Well, he is a talented guy. He's a funny guy. He really is. It's just that
Alan, nobody.
If I was not working here, I'd still be watching the show every night. It's that good.
I think it just comes down to nobody likes a kiss ass.
And I'll never be one. Neither will you.
Now, there is one thing that you could help us out with. We have a young man who's he's recently turned 40.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a redhead, and Stan constantly gives him problems about being a redhead and getting burned by the sun. I think you could. I think he looks up to you as a role model. Do you have any advice?
Who is this?
Tom.
Yeah,
he's one
of the producers.
Yeah, he's our executive producer on the show. He's a redhead like you, and he burns.
Well, Stan's always busting my chops saying how I must not have any friends, because every time we go to the beach, I'm the guy that has to, wait, I got to get my big hat and my 45 sunblock.
You know,
and
I hold
everyone up, and I delay the trip to the beach because I gotta slather on a bunch of oils and stuff.
We are a small group, but when we take over, we know who to pay back.
That's right, exactly.
You know, another connection with the Letterman show is we had Anton Figg.
Oh, yeah, great guy.
Who is a phenomenal guy. We went and had the drum set up in here for him, and he is, you talk about Paul Schaefer in the band, Anton is incredible.
Yep.
Anton's unbelievable. All those guys in the band are unbelievable. And I'll tell you something else. Anton hits a wicked golf shot.
Is he a good golfer, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bruce Kapler and Al Jess, trumpeter.
Yes.
And Anton and I play on a regular basis, and Anton hits the ball. Wow.
What?
Unbelievable. And by the way, Tom, in South Africa, you and I are gods.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll have to do a press junket out there.
I think so. I think so. When we name our list each day of the people who have to be removed.
Right.
Stan.
Yeah.
Heaney.
Come on.
See, I just had a great image of, like, Alan running for office and him having a security detail headed by Tom, all redheads.
Yeah.
Sunglasses on.
Yeah.
Next time you come down here, can we play golf?
Oh, I'd love to.
Where
would you take me?
I'd get you on a good course. I got connections.
Okay, good.
And we'll go and...
For you, we could get you anywhere.
Good.
Yeah, anywhere you want to go, and we'll play 18. And then
can I play with my shirt off?
You know, if you can get away with it, fine.
Good, we'll bring a film crew down. Great.
We so appreciate it.
And please tell Anton we said hello. That was one of the greatest days on the show.
I will. And you guys, please say hello to everybody down there for me. I didn't talk to the waterman. I didn't talk to Joe. But I'd love to meet him someday.
Absolutely. Well, you can say hi to Dave real quick if you want. I don't like turning his microphone on because he's disruptive.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, what's up, Al?
How you doing, Waterman?
Yeah, you know, man.
Yeah.
Getting my ass chewed every day, you know?
Arrested Development, Al.
Yeah, that's what it is.
One day. Congratulations, guys. You got a great show.
Will you do us one favor and just cut us a quick liner?
A quick liner?
Yeah, just say hi. I'm Alan Coulter, TV's whatever, and you're listening to Stan and Haney.
Okay.
All right, whenever you're ready.
This is Big Red for WRXK 96.1 K-Rock, the Stan and Haney in the Morning Show. Listen or else.
We appreciate it, pal. We'll talk to you soon.
You take care. Thanks for
having
me. Bye.
Alan Coulter.
Nice guy.
Nice guy. Great voice. Just love that. Nice job. Once again, Kool-Aid comes through.
Good job, Cool.
Good job. And you guys are like friends now, aren't you? You and Coulter?
Yeah, we're pals.
They call each other on their cell phones.
He hangs out on the rock.
Can I ask you a serious question, Cooley?
Sure.
Are you doing this just to show Dave up?
Look at it. It's bothering him.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying
That's
to
just
help.
A happy side effect?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy as hell. I mean, you're getting some kick-ass guests, but I'm just wondering if your motivation
Hell, I
is
got
just...
John Voight on. Did I get a thank you? Well, damn!
I just uncorked the bottle.
See what's happening?
Yep. I got to go anyways. I got somewhere to be. Bye-bye.
He's mad.
Of course he's mad.
He's mad because Kool-Aid's shining right now.
But I figured it was better. It was better to hit that release valve than to let him walk out of here.
Oh, hell. I don't get thank you.
Beat up, man. You were stewing.
Yep.
I ain't stewing over nothing. I got to go.
Pretty soon, I'll be in here every day at 6:35 for the almanac.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what you want to do, right across the hall. That's where you really want to be. Where's my mite all?
Hey, Stan, don't we want to hear from the other redhead on the show?
Oh, we want to hear from one more.
No, no, no.
One more redhead. Here is today's
no.
David Caruso phrase
every
of the day.
Day. Another piece of
in
my soul.
In a world of meaningless rhetoric and overblown hyperbole, only one man speaks the truth. Here's your David Caruso phrase of the day.
What's going on, Horatio?
Alex, Miami has a new breed of criminal.
And that was your David Caruso phrase of the day.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. It's okay, Dave.
You
Shut up, Stan!
You do a good job,
You do
Dave.
A good job. We're proud of you.
I don't care what you think
We're
anymore.
Proud of you.
I don't care. As long as I make that man happy,
Kool-Aid,
I'm happy.
Home run, baby! Home run!
Hey, look, you know, you two are buddies. No, go on ahead and buddy up, man, because it's going to come back and bite you.
what are you talking about?
Whoever it is you booked the last time, it was an excellent
Yeah,
guess.
Nice job. No,
thanks.
That last one didn't come through.
6:35 I'll be here tomorrow for the almanac.
K-Rock Kelly, Kelly Chase up next.
You know
she loves me.
You're killing him.
You're killing him.
I didn't do anything. Is it because Kelly has a crush on me? Is it because
come
Kelly
on,
has
bro,
a crush on me?
I got 20
me?
Of them like her, man. What do I care about one?
There's only one K-Rock Kelly.
Oh, dude, trust me, I got plenty of now K-Rocks.
So many hurt feelings here. Yeah. So many. And all it is, come on, keep in mind.
Look, hold it.
It's for the good of the show. If we have a good guest,
agree.
It makes the whole
why,
show
why
look
do
good.
You need to hurt
I agree.
I didn't say anything. He
but
was
I
one
can bring
pouting.
Anybody in the world on this show, and you won't say, you won't say
corner,
thank you.
Pouting.
You'll just
could
pout.
You say, could you say thank you to Dave?
No, I don't
thank
want,
you, Dave.
It doesn't mean nothing now.
Thank you, Dave.
I don't care. What does that mean to me? It doesn't mean nothing. You got a 20?
See what it is? That's
now
what
that's
really
saying
gets
thank
me.
You.
Well, he doesn't have any cigarettes.
You're right. I gave you a pack the last time.
That was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, sorry. I guess I'm not, didn't know I'm your permanent supplier.
You know, Kool-Aid doesn't even smoke.
No.
Never asked for anything.
Never ask for
responsible
money.
Responsible on time.
Oh, that's why he goes, that's why he gave him a $100 bill and he took it right out of your, the
$100
yeah, check.
My birthday!
That was for his birthday.
Yeah,
and
well,
he gave that money.
Him, you go,
he,
you know, what do you want? And you go, I'll take a honeybee.
He gave that money to his mother.
Oh, yep.
Well,
on.
You know, what I said to Kool-Aid on his birthday, because I forgot his birthday, I wasn't feeling well,
right,
or I
would have
remembered his birthday,
right.
And I looked him in the eye and I said, what will it take to make it right? He said $100. I said, done.
Yeah, and if you compare you and him over the year, $100 to Kool-Aid versus about $8,000 in other expenses.
Well, see, it's like a family where you got the one kid who goes to school and does everything right and then gets a big present on their birthday. And then you got the other kid who's always in trouble. Mm. You know, you're having to bail him out and pay fines and all that stuff. But the kid doesn't appreciate that kind of stuff. Just thinks that he should get $100 on his birthday,
too. Why don't I get $100?
Even though there's been, you know, a couple of hundred spent on him over
that's
the course
I mean.
Of the year.
Don't you worry, son. I'm going to take you under my wing.
You be nice to your brother.
Yes, both of you.
You know what it feels like to be outdone by a brother.
Do I ever.
We got the whole gang here. Us, Stan and Haney, D-Train, Dave the Waterman, and you're going to be able to see us all tomorrow at Cape Chaos. Haney and I will be broadcasting out there from 2 to 4. Bubba will be there from 4 to 6 at Sunsplash. For Cape Chaos. And I gotta let you know something, Waterman.
Yeah.
What's up? Haney and I and D-Train have what they call in the business all access passes, which means nobody can tell us no. I got you.
You went out of your way to make sure he didn't have one of those.
Well, that's fine.
No, let me explain something.
But I don't need one. I don't need one.
Stop. I told the powers that be here at Beasley Broadcasting.
Right.
You know, you are the most ungrateful.
Whoa.
And Big Daddy V knows what we do for you. I just did something for you, you son of a bitch.
Well, tell me all about it, man, because I don't know nothing.
Then stop being so derogatory like I'm going to go and pull your pants down or something. Kick you in the ass, which you deserve.
Man, I got to constantly be on my toes
around
you.
Who said anything about pulling down his pants?
I don't know, man. But yeah,
now,
look,
are you going to listen to me? Are you going to listen to me?
My ears are open, Stan.
See, I get this mockery. I can retract it.
passive aggressive.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what he is.
I can't imagine you pulling down Dave's pants
and kicking him in the ass.
Remember
the dog that did it?
Well, there was a dog.
Yes, that did happen.
I had a dog try to mount me or something. I don't know what was
he
going
on. He wasn't mounting you.
Yeah.
He was biting your ass.
What was it trying to do, Dave?
I thought it was trying to mount me.
What's that?
You know what I'm saying? You know, doggy style.
Yeah.
Except I was on the floor. And,
you look like the little copper tone girl.
So all the passes were handed out. Yeah. All the passes were handed out.
Yeah, sure.
And I said,
hey.
Dave the Waterman didn't get a pass. He's going to be with us in the VIP tent as Haney and I are broadcasting.
Well, how he rolls, man.
Well, see, but he didn't know that. He thought he was just going to be sitting out in the crowd with a ticket. And by the way, I'm telling you, if you're back there with us.
Yeah.
Inside voices.
And you're going to be working.
I understand that.
Now. So I said, wait, where's the Dave the Waterman passes? And I put a call in. You've got a working pass. And the only thing that is different from our all access is that Haney, me, D-Train can invite anybody backstage we want. You can be backstage, but you can't invite anybody.
Well, that's fine.
You weren't going to get a pass, and I said, get him a pass.
Well, can I say something?
What?
Thank you, Stan.
You're
welcome. I really appreciate that, man.
Yep. Next time, stop being so passive-aggressive and condescending to me.
Don't worry, because if I do...
Whatever. Grab bag brought to you by the pewter mug. Pewter mug, grab bag.
How? I'm driving you.
Yeah.
Any chick you pick up isn't going to have a car.
I'm going tonight and chain my beach cruiser up to the telephone pole right out front.
What a stooge.
How?
Well, what if you get beat up, though?
Yeah, because you've been beat up by kids before.
Shut up.
And you add that beach cruiser to the mix, they'll be running for you.
They'll run up on you.
Dude, I can put a girl on the handlebars, man. We'll ride out.
Yeah, those will get the panties.
That'd be cool, man.
That's how you do it, bro.
What a meathead.
Yeah.
Hey, baby, want to ride on my handlebars?
That's right.
I haven't done that since I was like 13, man.
That's
but
right.
But chicks dig that. I remember that.
Yeah, the East Man. Right.
He's got the only beach cruisers with pegs.
Dude. I think it's time for the grab bag, Stan.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
How is that spelled?
G-R-A-B-B-A-G, grab bag.
Thank you, buddy. I don't know how many of you know it, but people have been waiting a long time for this. There is so much excitement. This weekend, after the football games, the return of the X-Files.
Oh, hell yeah.
I've got a clip.
Scully, is that you?
Mulder?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
You bet.
Question.
Sure.
Which one of us is Mulder and which one of us is Scully?
I forget. It's been 13 years.
13 is an unlucky number.
Not as unlucky as that dead guy.
Yeah, he's really dead.
Wait a minute. I thought we hate each other.
Yep, totally hate each other.
But it's only 6 episodes.
True. Plus, we might get another movie out of this thing.
The cash is out there.
Oh, the excitement of it. The excitement of it. This is so Dave. Haney, you and I have asked you this from time to time. How did the grab bag come to be?
911 calls.
Thank you. Got a good one here. It's so Waterman. Two guys got arrested, I guess it happened last year, trying to smuggle 20 pounds of marijuana from Las Vegas to Montana.
Bozeman?
But not because, yes, probably. They got arrested not because they got caught. They were arrested because they were getting high along the way and started getting paranoid, thinking that the cops were following them.
You can't dip into your own stash.
Yeah, they were getting high, and they thought the cops were following them in unmarked cars. They weren't.
You ever seen that, Dave?
Don't get high on your own supply.
Yep. You ever feel like an undercover cop rolling up on you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're just like these guys.
No, I'm not.
They swore the cops were following them in unmarked cars. They were getting paranoid about the whole thing. So what'd they do? They called 911 to turn themselves in. That's it. You got us, Broheim.
That kind of stuff happens more than you think.
Here's the call. They're going from Vegas to Montana, 20 pounds of marijuana. They're smoking it. They get paranoid, thinking unmarked cop cars are following them. They can't take it anymore.
Madison County 911.
Hi, we're the two dumbasses that got caught trying to bring some stuff through your border, and all your cops are just driving around us like a bunch of jack wagons. I just really would like you guys to end it. If you could help me out with that, we'd just like to get on with it.
You got caught doing what?
We kind of got pooched here, trying to bring some stuff across your Idaho border.
Okay.
And, a bunch of your cops driving around a bunch of civilian cars, just not wanting to pick us up. I don't know what's the deal. I was just wondering if you could help us out and just end it.
Okay.
I mean, maybe call one of them. I don't know. It's getting cold out here, man. I just want to get warm. And
they were waiting with their hands in the air on their heads. So.
Okay. Where are you at right now?
University Boulevard, right next to the gas station in Applebee's. All your buddies are around us, so if you can help us out, it'd be great.
They weren't.
Okay. All right. And is it just you, or is there anybody else with you?
It's me and my buddy that I brought with me, and then we have a dog that we're going to bring back to its owner, but... she's a really nice dog. She's not mean. She's a pit bull, so...
She's
really close to the car. She can use some food, too, so...
Okay. Yeah, and what was your name, man?
It's Leland.
Leland, okay. All right, hold on just 1 second, okay? Stay on the phone with me.
All right, thank you. Nice guy.
Do you guys have any, like, guns or weapons or anything on you at all?
We don't have any of that story with us.
All right. No, I just want to make sure that they're just curious. So.
Yeah. We tried walking away from the car a couple of times, and I've been worried. We tried waving them down, it didn't work, so I don't know what's going on here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I do have one of my MARC units. He's on his way over there, so he said he's on his way to meet you, so.
All right, thank you.
Now, postscript. The buddy that was in the car with him wound up getting a suspended sentence. I think he went 30 days in jail, got a suspended sentence. Leland there, Mr. Paranoia himself, got sentenced to 8 years in prison. Why?
Oh, man.
Why?
That's
because
harsh.
When he came to court and was probably going to get a suspended sentence... He got to court and tested positive for 3 different kinds of drugs in his system on sentencing day.
Oh, man.
And they took away.
That's harsh.
So, Waterman.
Dude, those guys are total kooks, man. I mean... I'm not the brightest bulb, bro.
No, you're not.
But I'll tell you, man, I got more common sense than nose.
Sure do. I've seen you get paranoid before.
Oh, I've, yeah. There ain't no doubt, man. But
that may be
guys,
true, but it never has crossed his mind to get paranoid and surrender by calling 911.
Yeah, I mean, surrendered.
Bro, you're hauling, and, you know, there's traffic. Of course, there's going to be other cars driving around, man.
And they're trying to surrender to passersby.
Yeah.
Hey!
Yep.
What a bunch of kooks.
Dateline, Brevard County.
Unbelievable.
A guy from Brevard County named Wendell Joyner. Good old boy. Got arrested for trying to rescue his dogs from a house fire. Cops told him to let the firefighters do it. They knew the dogs were in there. Let the firefighters get the dogs out. But he wound up breaking a window with an axe and tried to climb inside. So the cops tackled him and charged him with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. They also messed up his face enough that they had to take him to the hospital to get a CAT scan. But he was instructed not to do it. Here is Wendell talking about trying to save his dogs from the burning fire and ignoring the firefighters.
My defense was I was trying to save my dogs. I got out of the house, period. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, my dogs are in there. So I went back in the house. I think at the most he should have took me aside, and if he felt that it needed to be, cuffed me and put me in his squad car until things settled.
That's right, brother.
Right on.
I see. I got this one for Dave the Waterman. You familiar with the Ventura, California surf beach there?
Of course.
Yeah. I mean,
it's some park or something where they do the surfing.
There's a couple. Yeah, there's a couple. You... Silver Strand, Pierpont.
This is a woman named Jolie Bernal was in Ventura surfing earlier this month. When she saw a guy, she was on the waves with her friend. They were riding the waves. The surf was really big that day. Saw a guy break into her friend's car. Her friend's name is Malini. They tried.
What would you make of that, Dave? Malini? Would it be Malini or?
I think it was Malini.
Malini? Maliana?
They tried to catch the guy. Jolie caught a wave on her surfboard, came into shore, jumped off her board, tackled the guy, and held him down until cops got there.
They all saw
it happening from Ventura Beach there as they were surfing. And here's what they had to say, a couple of girls.
I had noticed there was a guy in my car, and I kind of had to do a double take because I couldn't believe there was actually a burglar in my car. I had yelled to Jolie, Jolie! And she said, what? And I said, my car. And so we both start paddling in. And so then I just, like, start booking it, paddling it in. And thankfully, I caught a wave in. And so I got in pretty quickly. So I pulled him by the collar and pulled him out and punched him and started yelling at him. Like, him and I got out of the car and we're in front of the car and, like, on the ground. I think that adrenaline catches everyone, and it's something that's inside all of us. And when you're feeling violated, like, you want to, like, get justice. I do feel a little empowered. Oh, my gosh. She's my hero. I'm so glad that she was able to get into that fight mode and really catch the guy and be able to detain him until the officers arrive.
Locals only, you kook.
Right on, bro. Fight for those waves, man.
The Northeast being hit with that snowstorm. As a matter of fact, a plane at O'Hare in Chicago ran off the runway already.
Oops.
Last night on The Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon read some tweets about, well, basically living in the snow and worst experiences.
Now I thought I'd share some of my favorite oh hell snow tweets from you guys. This first one's from at yes it's Vicky. I once slipped on ice outside a supermarket, and when I came in, they were replaying it on the security camera.
Oh
hi, yeah. Hi, how's it going? All right, this one's from at least I'm not that guy. He says I had to call home in second grade because I moved the carrot on the school snowman to the place where Dad put it on ours at home.
You should also move the lumps of coal.
Oh, yeah. It's from at Weslin Gray. She says, I pushed the sunroof button instead of the garage door and ended up with a foot of snow in my lap.
That's great.
This one's from at Robert Carnell. He says, sled riding with my 2-year-old cousin. I could see we were going to hit the house, so I rolled off and let him hit it.
Two-year-old cousin.
Every kid for themselves.
Get out!
Two-year-old cousin, yeah. This one's from at Blues Drew. He says, my brother convinced me to give my clothes to the snowman we were making in the yard. Then he locked me out of the house in my underwear.
That's what brothers do.
That's what brothers
job.
Do, man.
Good job.
This last one's from at Miss Laddie. She says, when asked my dad if we can get a snowblower, he said no, because there had to be some use to having children.
Yeah. That's the way my father thought.
The way my dad thought, too.
Yeah.
Nah, we don't need to replace that. He can just, every day when he...
What do you think we got children for?
Go out there and prime the pump.
Jimmy Kimmel last night talking about how ISIS is recruiting females from the United States.
Whoever does become our next president is going to have to deal with ISIS, which now is recruiting more than just fighters.
It's part of an explosion of online recruiting for ISIS that's eye-catching and inviting. Young women are promised free housing, health care, cars. Men are promised beautiful brides, true to the faith. It's been estimated that more than 500 Western women had left their families to travel to Syria and Iraq and join ISIS. Experts say there's even a catchphrase circulating, jihadis.
What expert said that? No expert said jihadi. If you're looking for a jihadi, you can find them on G-Harmony, you know.
Everybody wants to see the picture of Stan getting ready for Cape Chaos.
Yeah.
All right.
Rock on, bro.
Yeah, I'm just trying to rock on. Just trying to get, you know, I'm teasing the disease.
Oh, God. Is he not rocking, Haney? I mean, that guy knows how to rock.
Yeah, pathetic. Oh, I got one more for you. I don't know if you've seen the previews for this movie. It opens tonight. The Boy. Have you seen the previews to this?
Oh, the scary movie?
Yeah. Babysitter comes over to the house, and there's this elderly couple standing there, and they say, we'd like to introduce you to our son who you'll be babysitting. And it's a dummy. It's a fake, like a mannequin. But it's really alive. And yeah, I saw the previews. It's scary.
Allow me to introduce Mr. Hilscher. And this is our son, Brahms. Music gives him so much joy.
Brahms is not like other children. It is very important that you follow these rules. Be good to him and he'll be good to you.
Tell me about the real Brahms.
By the time the police arrived, the place was up in flames.
Brahms didn't make it out.
It's not safe in this house.
You don't understand what's happening.
What do you say? You and me, Waterman, go see that movie?
Yeah, man. That
yeah.
Sounds...
It's so creepy. When you see a picture of this doll, this mannequin that they claim is their son, you immediately start feeling, uh-oh, this is not good. Because you get the cute babysitter coming in, ready to take care of the little boy. And the parents introduce you, but they're too old to be real parents. And there's the boy. If you're good to him, he's good to you. Opens tonight.
Parental discretion advised.
That's a hard R. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us on Friday, Cape Chaos Eve, by the way. If you're going to that thing, the gates will open at 1 p.m. Parking is free. Show gets underway at 2 p.m. And for all of you wondering, yep, beer, liquor, wine. Get you good and, well, lubed up. Feeling no pain. It is indeed a pleasure and a pleasant surprise. They kept your chair open for you. A pleasant surprise to have Red Sun Rising in the studio with us. And you guys, first of all, just got off the big boat, right?
Yeah, ship rock.
And because it's your first time here in the studio, if we can, I'd like everybody in the band to introduce themselves and tell them what they play and what they do in the band. So take it around the horn.
All right. I'm Ryan Williams, guitar.
I'm Pat Gerasia. I play drums.
I'm Ricky, bass and vocals.
All right.
I'm Dave. I play guitar and vocals.
And did you found the band? Was it you that started the band up?
No, sir.
And you were the one. I can tell looking at you right now, you're the ringleader.
Maybe now.
That sweet mustache he's wearing.
Yeah.
I'll let it fool you.
Yeah, and
I'm Mike, lead vocals, guitar, and founder of the band.
Oh, okay. Well, he's got a mustache, too. And I just got to ask you guys, your debut album, and right off the bat, you land a number one hit. What's this like? I mean, I don't have any idea what that feels like, that you get a record deal, you put the album out, and then bam, just like that, something goes number one.
I mean, it's truly surreal, and we didn't really have an opportunity to celebrate it, and we didn't really want to, kind of, because we were on the road. We just
right.
kept doing what we did every day and just kept working hard. But it's cool because of all the hard work. You know, when Ryan and I started this band back in 2007, you know, we've been, you know, a lot of people think.
A lot of people don't realize it. 2000, it took a while.
It took a long time to get here. Yeah. So it was a lot of hard work. So it was just like, you know, awesome.
All right, I'm going to ask you an honest question. Have you seen any money yet?
We've seen it before. We know what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah. We see it in pictures on the internet.
Yeah.
But I mean, to answer it truthfully, you know, we're able to do this full time now without jobs, which is really more than we could ever ask for.
And you guys are from Ohio?
Correct.
And I want to congratulate you guys for your success. It's phenomenal.
Thank you.
And you're going to do the acoustic version of your big hit. And, of course, it's The Other Side. How long was that on the charts? It's still on the charts, isn't it?
It's on the recurrent charts now because we just released another single. But it was up there for, man, like 20-some weeks.
Man, that's good. Phenomenal.
Yeah, it was great.
Are you guys all set? Are you ready? Y'all tuned up?
Let's do it.
Here they are from Ohio, Red Sun Rising, with their number one hit, The Other Side, on 96 K Rock.
This is the Shiprocked Hangover version.
You got your sea legs.
Not as hot as a flame then burning before me. I've been flipping through all your moments and tearing up memories. How long can we carry this note? How long can we keep digging the soul? Come out on the other side. Holy demon, what's the difference when you come out on the other side? Falling from grace, what's the difference when you come out on the other side? The other side, the other side, where you come out alone. Sins clean. I've gotten too filthy. The drain is full, but still circles beneath me like a fool to sanity. How long can we carry this note? How long can we keep digging this hole until we come out? Falling
was phenomenal.
Thank you.
And that's the hungover version.
Yeah.
Nice job, guys.
Thanks a lot.
When you were on this cruise, did you guys play and all that? And did the boat rock at all?
We all had a little trouble with the nausea, but you know, we had a lot of Dramamine and a lot of alcohol. So
yeah. Luckily for our set, it wasn't too wobbly though. We were on the Hailstorm, had to play in some really rough waters, and our night show got canceled because it was so bad.
Really?
And you should have. I mean, how they stayed on their feet, I don't know.
How
they
big of a ship was that?
It was massive. It was a cruise ship. I got lost constantly, yeah.
Because they have all that ballast in there for all the passengers, so you don't get that. And the seas were that rough?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, some of the time.
Of nights, yeah.
It was unbelievable how big the ship was.
Man.
That was my first time on a cruise in general.
Really?
Yeah,
so
same.
To do it that way was crazy. It was just concerts all day. And
okay,
just,
now be honest with me. Having to cancel shows because it's too rough out there, a little Dramamine. Do you want to go on a cruise again?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
As weird as it sounds, I was ready to get off the boat, but I would definitely do it again.
We had a blast, though. We met so many amazing people, old friends, like bands we played with, toured with, and then some new bands that I think we'd like to tour with now. So it was a great experience. I think everybody walked away with a new contact list full of new friends. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when you have a number one hit song, a lot of people want to be your friends. I mean, suddenly, you know, oh, I'd love to open for these guys. No, they want to open for you.
Right.
And times they are changing. What's the, now you said you have a new single that's out now. What's that one?
That song's called Emotionless.
And it comes off the debut album that you have. What, I got to ask you this before I let you guys go, and I appreciate you coming in. What is it like working as hard as you guys worked from 2007 to try to make it big, and you see your first CD, your first download off of the websites that this is your band and you've done it. That first day where it was all done and finally went out to the people, that had to be one of the best days of your life.
I think we have a hard time sometimes, like, just taking a deep breath and thinking about where we came from. I mean, we were lugging, you know, equipment in from 4 a.m. shows, 2 feet of snow. We paid to play to nobody. And, you know, we're doing that stuff for years and beating down every door.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I think it's motivation to work harder and stay grounded. You know, made it as, like, you know, it's a term.
And
that,
I think a lot of people don't realize, too, it's like, yes, we did have a number one single and we're, you know, still moving forward and getting better opportunities, but it's still a lot of work and it's more work to stay there.
Yeah, and I know it's probably really true. You go and have a number one single and the record label and the public are saying, what do you got next
the
for
pressure,
us?
Totally. Next. And but, now, which we, you know, we welcome. We want that pressure. It pushes us.
Yeah, always writing music?
Always writing music.
Always.
Who are the lead writers with
Ryan
you?
Ryan and I, as far as now, but are up to date, but these guys are definitely starting to...
Yeah, we're gonna
material moving forward are really starting to.
I want to thank you guys for stopping by.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Congratulations on your success. Are you guys gonna stay in town a while? Or are you heading back home? Or what?
We
are you
may
guys
stay
doing
here tonight. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because you got Cape Chaos tomorrow. Are you just gonna come by and observe?
We were thinking about it. We have that big blizzard rolling through, and we have our headlining tour that we're starting in 4 days, and it's up north. So we got to cut through. We're debating on, you know, what do we do? Do we try to beat it, or do we wait it out?
Because it's already coming. A plane at O'Hare already ran off the runway.
Wow.
Nah. You know, if you're somewhere where there's no snow on the ground, I'd say stay there.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay as long as you can.
He doesn't say much, but when he does.
Yeah. Right. That's great advice.
And I did have one question for you guys. You guys have been together since 2007?
Him and I have, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like my wife, basically.
Who had?
Why do I gotta be the wife?
Who had the worst idea for a cover that maybe you played one time and never again?
Oh yeah, because you know all bands starting out are gonna do all the.
There's
covers.
Always somebody that has. Oh man, we should totally cover this, and you do it one time and go, that was a horrible idea.
You guys got one.
I think that may go out to me. We actually did acoustically once do Clint Eastwood by Gorillaz, and I rapped the rap part. That's a really.
So, now, the coolest thing about it, though, is that it's turned into his go-to karaoke song.
Guys,
thank you
so much.
I saw a band one time, and Stan was there.
We were there.
And it was a complete effing train wreck.
It was on the beach.
Yeah.
It was on the in Naples.
And you could tell they knew it halfway through the song. We should have never done this, but they had to finish it. They tried to do Forever Man by Clapton. And oh, nobody,
I don't know, nobody had it.
Why would you try to touch
you
that?
Saw people, I know. You saw people running off the beach to get away from it.
It's like the drummer was playing one song, the bass player, and the guitar player kind of had the riff, but couldn't really pull it off.
Or sustain it for any length of time.
Yeah, yeah, right. And just suffice it to say, the vocals were struggling as well.
Yeah, that's, and probably never did it again.
Yeah, that was. That
was it just Clapton after Shiprock? Is that who it was?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know the name, and I wouldn't embarrass them by saying it. But
yeah, yeah.
They learned as they were doing the song that it was a poor idea.
We've all been there, man. You know. Those embarrassing moments when we had bandanas hanging out of our back pockets.
Did you go through over those years certain images that you wanted to portray? Yeah,
Ryan was wearing like cowboy boots and like a bandana. Every
the five of us have mustaches right now. In a year from now, what do you think you're going to be saying? Man?
That is true.
Red Sun Rising, guys, thank you so very much for coming
us.
In here and spending some time with us. Enjoy your stay here, and the tour starting hopefully in 4 days. Maybe you can stay out of the snow for just a little while.
Totally.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Now we got to go and try to organize things here.
All right. That was fun, guys. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Come on all over here. We'll do this live. Come on.
Okay, O'Reilly, what are we doing live?
We're going to get a picture. And I'm just staying on the air.
A live picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, the mics are still hot.
Mics are hot, no cussing.
All right, you going to get over there?
Yeah, why not?
The more the merrier, guys.
Yeah.
Anybody else want
to know? How's that?
Snuggle together.
Say something funny, Stan.
Oh, yeah. I'm in a great mood to say something funny.
There we go. I got a bunch.
Awesome.
Good?
Yep. You're good to go.
Guys, thank you very much.
Yeah,
pleasure meeting you.
Yeah, man, pleasure. You too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
That's not mine. This one's mine.
Yeah. Sorry. Live radio.
Yeah, that's it. That's the way I like it.
Yeah, I do.
Well, or we'd get nothing done.
That was really good. And it's been so long since we've had a live band here. We used to do that all the time.
Yeah.
And have them in the studio playing.
Yes.
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. That was at guitar volume.
Yeah. But, absolutely. Red Sun Rising and Waterman. What did you think of that, huh?
That was rad, bros. Yeah, it was good.
You weren't even paying attention.
What do you mean, man? I'm sitting listening.
He was grooving like Reuben Kincaid.
Were you?
Yeah, I was chilling, man.
What's the notebook for?
That's
his life's work.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
No, give me the book.
No.
Give it to me.
That's very private,
no,
Stan.
No. Look, yeah, there's things in here that
you
cannot.
Can you just show it to me? Let me see.
No, man, no.
There may be things in there about you that he doesn't want you to see.
Is there anything in there about me? Dave the Waterman's walking around carrying a lame-ass notebook.
Nothing lame-ass about it.
What? Hold on. Where's your mic? Oh, I don't have your mic on. I switched it back to Haney. Hold on.
There's just things in there.
Is that your biography you're working on?
They are.
He's a writer.
Give me the damn book.
No, because you can't. No.
So that's
then
his
what
portfolio.
What did you bring it in for?
I had to come in through the door and I didn't have a chance to get back into the thing. Okay, you know what? Okay, here, I'll give you this. I'll give you this to read. I don't think there's anything in there. Okay, yeah, you can. Okay,
just let me see the damn notebook.
It's about my brain, Stan.
He's gonna tear that son of a bitch up.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't do that.
Please
to
don't
him.
Do that, man.
I wouldn't do that.
That's
to him.
Part of life's work in there.
Back to the Future Day is October 21st, 2015. Back off.
No, man. You need
Hold on. I'm reading this.
You go back the other way.
Don't
back
censor him.
Back to the Future was in 1989, November 22nd release. But the scene where Marty McFly was in his old town, downtown, he saw a billboard saying, Chicago Cubs win World Series. Say what? The Cubs are World Series champs? What are you writing this down for? Hold on, I'm not done. My brain and I are going to to the park.
I think that's the video I was telling you he's wanting to shoot.
Yeah.
My brain is at the bar, and a girl walks up and asks what I'm drinking, and before my body can answer, my brain says, blood. Hold on a second. Oh, we're talking here. Hold on a second.
Yeah, there was things. These are bits that I was putting together.
We need to print up a script.
The brain has a bright idea one morning to go bungee jumping. So my body and brain are all, what's that word? Psyched?
Psyched, yeah.
That's not how you spell it. And pumped up about that. This until we get there and my body is saying, no, no, no! No way in hell am I going to do this. Your brain, you're crazy, my body says.
What does the brain say?
I'm going to hurt myself. Hot chick is in line and up next to me. Back off. Back off.
Have a seat, Dave.
Lemmy Kilmister, tumor cancer, Los Angeles. David Bowie, England/New York, a.k.a. Ziggy Stardust. Glenn Frey, New York, New York, age 67. Band, solo artist, musician, a.k.a. bands, The Eagles. Film, most notably, Miami Vice TV series. Jim's address. Music for Stan, he might like.
Last night.
Sean Lennon and Les Claypool. He played it for me, I didn't like it.
Scratch that off the list.
Heavy metal versions of the Me and Mark Haney Imperial March. Heavy metal version of Ghostbusters. The rest of this is blank.
Because it's a brand
what
new
the hell?
Book, dude.
It's like three pages,
it's
and it's
brand
blank.
New starter book, man. But you know what story you didn't read? Oh no, because it's got okay.
What's the page you got folded over?
Well, I like the metal version of Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
have There's you a... heard it?
Yeah.
And this has been A Moment Inside the Waterman's Head.
It's already been done, Dave.
Now there's another one, man.
No, this is it.
This is the definitive one.
So my brain goes to a masseuse.
He's singing.
Ask for a rub down. The masseuse goes, okay. Shall I start? She says, my brain goes anywhere you want. Start with my frontal lobes, down to my brainstem.
Here, I'll give you the instrumental for that.
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
Okay, get ready.
Wait, you want to start
get ready.
Over?
Here.
You want to start over? Right?
Yes, start
so
over.
So you're not stepping on him.
All right.
He's going to wait till he sings.
Yeah, and then step all
so
over.
So my brain goes to the masseuse. Ask for a rub down. The girl goes, okay. Where shall I start? My brain says.
Start from the beginning again, because you're too late on it.
I thought he said he had a complete instrumental.
Go.
I didn't know. So my brain goes to the masseuse. Ask for a rub down. The girl goes, okay, where shall I start? I say my frontal lobes down to my brain stem. She gets turned on and works her little boobies and then her thighs all around. And my brain goes, you're the best, aw man. All right.
Start it from the beginning again and let him try to the next verse. It's good. Where it starts, do the instrumental stuff. Go to the next verse.
The next. Okay.
All right, bro. Hi.
Kick it.
So she gets turned on, and she works her little boobies, and then her thighs all around are give good rundown. She says, "Aw, brain, you're the best. Aw, brain, you're the best." Frontal lobe, rundown.
Why don't you sit down?
To the brainstem.
Do you not have a chorus for your song?
Yeah, any chorus.
This is all verses.
Yeah.
Nah, well, I'm still working on things, boys. I mean, you know.
See where that goes.
What's the working title?
Bits and pieces.
We'll get things back to normal.
Oh, come on, man.
When we come back. If you having
girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol.
So my brain goes to a zoo. Ask for a rundown. Go, go, okay, okay. Where shall I start, homeboy? I say, hey, start my frontal lobe. Work down to my brainstem. Hey, babe. You're getting turned
you
on.
You want to shut up.
Because I am smart.
We're going to take a break.
Super smart.
And we'll be back.
No.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock. Ahoy, K-Rock, you're on the air.
Hey, Chica.
Pardon? What? Pardon me?
Hey, Chica.
Hello, this is K-Rock. This is a radio show. K-Rock, hello.
Oh, you big oaf. It's Jeff.
What do you want?
Oh, come on, you big log.
And calling me Chico?
I just said, hey, Chica.
Chica? What? Where do you get this? Hey, Chica.
I have taken up cycling.
You've what?
I've taken up cycling.
Uh-huh.
You know, where I dress up like Lance Armstrong?
Mm-hmm. And wearing those tight, clingy spandex pants and kind of like a half top with a backwards a helmet and cap.
Uh-huh.
Probably bright yellow.
Uh-huh.
The color of a champion.
And my entire body is shaved clean.
Oh, so I don't want to. What? I don't care. Why are you telling me that you're shaving your body? First of all, draft, you wear the full little jumpsuit there that these cyclists all around. You don't need to shave your body, and I don't need to know that.
You're
why are you
right.
calling?
I'll just answer the question.
What?
My Mexican buddies.
Mexican
that's
buddies.
That's their nickname for me is Chica.
You're...
And I'm told that means my very good friend.
Chica is feminine in Spanish. It's for a girl.
Do you actually speak Spanish?
I took 2 years of Spanish in high school, and that was the first thing we learned. You got your L's, which is masculine, and you got your L's, which is feminine, and anything ending in the A is feminine, and anything in the O is male, masculine. And
okay.
Chica is for a bitch, a broad.
I don't believe that.
You're a cream puff.
Can you even say anything in Spanish?
Buenos dias, la chica.
So you said, good morning, my dear friend.
No, that would be like for a lady, like a señorita, a señor, a señorita.
But that doesn't have anything to do with a chica.
Yeah, a chica is feminine. You remember like the TV show Chico and the Man?
Uh-huh.
Freddie Prinz was Chico, and Jack Albertson was the man.
I thought it was I thought it was Freddie Mercury that was
Freddie Prinz Chica. Was Chico, not Chica. Why am I having this discussion with you? They gave you a femme name.
It was him and Jack Albertson.
That's what I said. They gave you, but your gang, your biker gang, gave you a femme name. You femme?
Look, I'm not even going to go there.
I wish you'd go somewhere before I hang up on you. You called me, and I've asked you to leave me alone.
Well, look, I am very secure in my masculinity.
Right.
And I was not able to get through when you were doing the soapbox.
Look.
Because I don't understand why.
What?
But I have been trying to sell this item ever since December, and I'm not even getting it, Nibble.
Right. All right. What are you trying to sell, Fem?
Well, it's a mattress and box spring.
Nobody wants your mattress and box spring. I'll tell you that right now. I won't know. What?
I need you to help me sell this.
No, I won't help you to sell this. I won't, Chica.
Whatever.
Why? Wait a second. Stop. I want to start fresh here, Chica. Wait a second. Why, Joffrey, do you want to sell a mattress and box spring? I'll get the details on it if, you know. But why do you want to sell it?
Well, I was having a talk with the old ball and chain.
Oh, you back together again?
In some ways.
Right. Yeah.
But she found out that rents can be prohibitively expensive.
Breasts so, can be prohibited. Breasts?
Rent.
Oh, rent. I thought you talked about breasts, that you were getting a breast job.
Why would I do that? My pecs are awesome as is.
You know, they have that men can actually, there's a procedure, I don't know what the name is, where men actually get a breast reduction. It's like a reverse for women getting breast implants. They get men that have man boobs can actually go and have a procedure done.
You know, I know I'm like everybody else. It's hard to find the time to work out. You know, I'm a stay-at-home dad.
I don't want
to
hear
sure
this.
That Princess and Pepper are okay, and then I work in some
They're
workout
dogs.
Time.
Now, wait a second. Let's get back to selling the bed. That's why you apparently called. I don't want to know about your breasts. I don't want to know about your biker game, calling you femme names.
You're the one that brought that up.
You said, hey, Chica.
Uh-huh.
That's, why am I back on this?
But
what do you want with the bed?
I was not talking about my breasts.
I thought that's what you said. I swear to God, I thought you said breasts. You creep, you limp-wristed, what, look.
This is it's several years old, but it was top of the line at the time. Box spring and mattress.
Do I hear you smoking a Virginia Slim?
I'd rather not draw attention to what I'm smoking, thank you.
All right, wait a second. You bought the mattress and box spring new. New.
Uh-huh.
You did. You bought it.
And it's a pillow top, and I ripped off all the tags, you know, arrest me for that. But so I don't know what the brand name is, but I know it cost a pretty penny.
Uh-huh.
It was our marital bed for quite some time.
So not a lot of use there.
It was. I mean,
not with you and her. It was whatever you brought over.
This mattress saw a lot of love, not just between me and the old
man. That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Princess and Pepper.
Oh,
they
God.
Enjoy it,
wait
too.
A second. Stop now. Stop. Wait a second. How big how big of a bed is it?
It's what's referred to as a California queen.
Okay, California queen.
Uh-huh.
That's appropriate. Okay, California queen. It's new. You bought it, but you ripped all the tags off. You bought it new.
I bought it new
right.
A couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
It was the
marital bed.
And then we had the split. And what my wife wants to do now is to pretend like it's the 1950s, and we'll have two twin beds instead. Now, I have already purchased those. We're sleeping on them.
Yeah.
And I've got just this behemoth of mattress and box springs,
right.
And I've tried everything.
Yeah.
I've gone around and put up flyers.
Uh-huh.
I think that I had a picture. Oh, this was terrible. I took a picture of it, and I was putting it on Craigslist and eBay,
uh-huh.
but wouldn't you know it, you can see me nude in the mirror.
What are you doing taking pictures of your bed nude? I don't want to know. Never wait. I've never met anybody sick and as twisted as you. And if you think Chica, that you're going to go and don't call me Chica. Don't you call me that. You save that for your cycling buddies to call you Chica.
Sorry, Chica.
Oh, look, the bed.
So like I said, what? It's a California queen.
Right. Yep. What?
And it has a beautiful floral pattern on the pillow top mattress. So,
is that to hide? Is that to hide the stains?
Well, you might see a stain or two.
I'm quite sure. Nobody wants to buy this.
But what you can do
is
rest assured that that floral pattern hides many more stains than will ever be visible.
Look.
That was a big selling point for me.
You have brought, with this bed, the marital bed, the California queen, you have brought over probably, my guess, hundreds of questionable bed partners. Don't deny it. Don't deny it. And you have two lap dogs that probably jump up on that thing and have defecated and urinated on that, thrown up on that. You've probably fed them wet dog food on there. God knows what kind of stains. And then you're taking pictures of it for Craigslist nude. You're in the nude. Who the hell in their right mind would take the risk to buy anything from you?
Okay. I need you to understand
what
that the nudity was unintended.
You don't take pictures of your bed that you're putting for sale nude, whether it was unintended or not. What are you doing?
Well, why would that matter? If I'm just taking a picture, no one's supposed to be able to see me.
Wouldn't it's you just... know before you posted that picture that your reflection nude is in the photograph?
And that's a big part of the problem, because I've been banned from the Internet.
Rightfully so. They should have done it for 100 other reasons. Hold on. You've been banned from the Internet. I can understand I can understand being banned from Facebook. I can understand being banned from Craigslist. I can understand being banned from various websites where whatever you do probably creeps even those people out. But you're banned from the Internet.
Uh-huh.
How do you get banned from the Internet?
Well, I guess that they considered it to be objectionable.
Objectionable.
It is just as God made me.
You're objectionable. You're on every hot sheet in town.
But it was not my intention. All I wanted to do was sell the California queen.
So are you telling me that, like, your Internet provider will not allow you access to the Internet? They refuse to have you. Because, you know what?
Well, I received an email that I had been banned from the Internet, and I had up to 30 days to pay a $500 fine to an address in Canada.
I don't know if that's real either. Oh, God.
By the time it gets close to 30 days, I will be able to pay the fine and go back off.
Right. And then back to posting nude photos of you.
I would never, ever do that.
Remember the time the feds came and got you because you wanted to put a recipe for making a bomb on there?
Uh-huh.
You know, you did that. So wait a second. Feds are aware of you. Local police are aware of you. Internet providers are aware of you. Various websites. Don't you think for a second that you might be the one with the problem and not everybody else? You ever think that?
No, I don't think that, because I am confident in myself and my judgment, and I will write a check for $500 to the Internet, send it off to Canada.
Don't do that.
In the meantime, I'm on the honor system.
What's that mean?
Well, I'm allowed to use the Internet with limited capability.
Uh-huh.
I am not allowed to sell anything.
Right, good. Or publish anything.
And I am also banned from making comments on the Perez Hilton website because they said It was just downright cruel.
I bet. Oh, you know what? I'm going to do you a favor, and it's going to be a reflection of the person that you really are, the creep, the scumbag that you really are. Joffrey, I think you should have every right to sell that bed, and we have done various swap shop kind of things, and during the soapbox, we allow people to sell their products, and we let them give their phone number out. Why don't you go, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Tell us about the California queen and box spring you're looking to sell. Ladies and gentlemen, Joffrey here has an item that he would like to sell. And Joffrey, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, thank you, Stan.
No problem, my friend.
Well, first of all, I think I might have to make clear to the audience, Stan is only kidding when he calls me names. Okay.
I didn't say that. Wait a second. Do not add anything.
No,
without giving any editorial comment about me, you're selling a product. Go.
Well, we'll see. Do.
Go. Go ahead.
Hi. My name's Jeff, and I have for sale a beautiful, gently used California queen.
Gently used. That's a lie. Go ahead.
And it has a beautiful floral pattern on the pillow top mattress.
Stains. Go ahead.
And I know that this is going to give somebody just such an upgrade in the bedroom.
Right.
And that's what I'm all about.
Upgrade. Okay, yeah, so is that all you want to say? How much are you asking for it?
Best offer?
Best offer? Is there a ball? What if somebody says, I'll give you $10 for it? You going to take it?
No.
What are you saying? First 100 grabs it? First 250?
Well, really, I can negotiate.
Okay.
Especially if someone has a pickup truck.
Right. So you're not going to deliver. They got a pickup.
Well, I certainly can't put it on my bicycle, can I?
Is that all you ride now is a bike?
Yeah, good. It's called Going Green, buddy. Check into it.
Right. You betcha, Chica. Best offer gets this California queen right here.
I know I spent probably $3,500 on this thing.
Wow. That's something. Probably not your money, your wife's money. Now, if so.
Oh, and it does. And it does come with vibrators.
What?
It comes with vibrators. Isn't hers?
Vibrators? What do you mean? You talking about like the magic fingers in the bed, or are you throwing something extra in?
Yeah, I'm talking about the magic fingers. Okay. What did you think of?
I don't know. You said
about.
It comes with vibrators. His and her
Good
vibrators.
Lord.
What do you mean, yeah. His and her? You mean it works on both sides of the bed? It's different?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. And so you're going to negotiate. Now, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, Joffrey, what number should they call?
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, we're ready. Our producer's going to jot down the number. If you're interested in a lightly used, greatly loved California queen mattress and box spring with floral design to hide the stains, a beautiful product that Joffrey is willing to sell. He just gave you all the details about it. How should they get in touch with you?
Okay, they can call me on my cell.
Okay.
At area code 239.
Yes.
498-4114.
Okay, that number again?
239.
239.
498.
Got it.
4114. And if you want to email me.
Yes.
You can do that. My address is bigdaddy@burp.com.
BigDaddy@burp.com?
Uh-huh.
And that, serious inquiries only, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm not doing this for my health. I just want it out of my living room. I've had the courtesy not to throw this in the garage.
Oh, so it was kept under air.
Yes, it's in my living room, and I need it the hell out.
Stan and Haney, well, it's official. New York Village changing logo. That was the butt of jokes. The upstate New York Village of Whitesboro has confirmed that it will change its official logo after the image, which appears to show a white man throttling an Indian. was ridiculed on this show and The Daily Show. Although we didn't ridicule it. We thought it should stay. We thought it was perfectly fine because they were wrestling, okay? Village officials and members of the nearby Oneida Indian Nation will meet to discuss creation of a new image. That, according to Mayor Patrick O'Connor, that was announced today. It came after The Daily Show aired a segment Thursday that was filmed on January 11th when villagers decided in a non-binding vote to keep the traditional logo for its historic value. Among alternative designs put before voters were several provided by The Daily Show, including one of a white man and an Indian apparently dancing and a white settler and an Indian beating up a British soldier. O'Connor said the longtime village seal shows a historic wrestling match between village founder Hugh White and an Oneida Indian that figured into good relations between the settlers and the Oneidas. The crudely drawn seal has drawn media attention over the years, most recently in July, when someone posted online a petition saying it was offensive and should be removed from the village trucks, police cars, and signs. So they got them all over the trucks and police cars of the white man choking out the Indian. O'Connor said the new seal will preserve history with a more modern and culturally appropriate drawing. Oh, and I forgot to even mention this. Speaking of culturally appropriate, and everybody's a winner, and this is true, and I'm sure Haney will probably get this story eventually. I just heard it today, and it's still, you know, making its rounds. I forget. There is a school in New York, public school, that when parents are mailed the child's report card, and let's just say Timmy got C's and D's, and mom and dad see the report card, they will, upon the parent's request, issue a different report card with better grades so Timmy can see that one and motivate him to try harder. So you know what his real grades are, but the one you show Timmy is that he's doing better.
And that's supposed to motivate him to do better than he thinks he's doing?
It's supposed to give him self-confidence.
But he doesn't know he's doing poorly.
Better self-esteem. Well, if you constantly drill into Timmy's head, D-Train, that you're doing poorly.
Yeah, but he says, my report card doesn't say so.
You look for the story. You'll find it. My head was spinning. Upon the parents' request, if you'd like to give Timmy a report card with elevated grades to boost his self-esteem, we will gladly do that. God. What is this world coming to?
Damn right. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it.
Right on.
Woo, it's sun's out.
Getting it done, son.
Mark.
Yeah.
Haney. And the news brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District starts right now.
This is the Evening News.
I'm Gary King.
Also, Frank Reynolds. Gary King. I'm on the phone.
I'm Jerry King.
I'm Ann Compton.
I'm Gary Charles
Gibson. I'm Gary King.
I'm Jerry King.
I'm Barbara Walters.
I'm Jerry King.
Hi, this is Peter Arnett, and here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today. Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney.
Oh, I'm sorry. He sent me. It's a private Jewish school in New York, which will give kids, for their eyes only, a better report card than what their parents get. It's on Long Island. Very privileged kids, I guess.
Well, their future is set anyway.
Of course it is.
When is it too old to start over?
Oh, I remember this in the headlines. I said 30.
Dave says 43.
He better.
He made it in just under the line.
A recent survey asked people to name the age when someone is simply too old to switch careers. The answer?
I say 30.
41.
You better figure out what you're doing with your life or it's over.
Right on, dude. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, you're sitting here eating a brownie on the air.
He learned that from you.
Well, you know what? You're right, and I set a bad example. I apologize for that.
Oh, that doesn't excuse him, no.
No.
You do as I say, not as I do.
Of course, that's the way it should be.
That's the way you were raised.
But then again, when you have D-Train taking him out and doing his weekly grocery shopping because he keeps crying poverty.
Well, carry him for a week.
Yeah.
But that's not the whole story.
No.
It found that people feel trapped in their current career path by the age of 36, and they feel like they hit the point of no return in the early 40s. 31% of people all ages say they still daydream about changing careers once or twice a month, but don't do anything about it.
No, that's me in my coffee shop.
Now, what are the excuses holding people back from cutting their losses? Not knowing what else to do.
That's Dave.
Worrying they won't be good at anything else.
That's Dave.
The inherent risks in just giving up.
That's Dave.
Worrying about providing for their kids.
Not Dave.
No, that never crosses a mind. He claims he has kids south of the border.
And not wanting to ever set foot in a school ever again.
That's Dave. You hit them all except one, Waterman.
And now, a special report. With our resident expert with an in-depth look at the twisted world of serial masturbators. Dave? You know quite a bit about serial masturbators. You've seen them.
39% of men pleasure themselves at work to reduce stress.
39% at work.
Apparently, the bathrooms and supply closets at every office in the country are being grossly violated on a daily basis. Who knew?
You did.
Yes, I did. And according to the survey, 39% of men say they pleasure themselves at work to also reduce stress even more. First of all, reducing stress, basically men will masturbate anywhere.
What? You know this.
Well, he's an expert on serial masturbation.
You know this.
Basically, you just got to admit that you have a problem.
So it's a problem. Step.
Well, yeah, it's to reduce stress, but, you know, sometimes people do masturbate for not only stress-related problems, but they might be angry.
angry masturbation.
Yeah!
You know?
Yeah.
Damage yourself.
To the point where it's raw. Bleeding.
Flaky.
But basically,
out of anger.
Yes, but basically, two out of every five guys do masturbate on a regular basis.
At work?
At work.
Well, there's four of us in here, so that leaves you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't deny it.
So you've masturbated here?
No, not here.
Yeah, in his truck. Yeah.
Have you?
On the job?
On the job. Wait a second. Stop now. Hold on. Let's talk for a second, Waterman. You just did your study because you're an expert on it.
Yes, I've done research.
And
hands-on research.
Mm-hmm. It requires lots of...
I got a couple of honest questions to ask you. Now, I will answer honestly as well. Never and I mean never in my 33 years of broadcasting, have I ever gone into the men's room at work or a supply closet and relieved myself, so to speak. Dave the Waterman, you're 41 and successful.
Absolutely, Stan.
Have you, at any time in your work career, whether it be in your pickup truck, making a delivery, hooking up a car, here, because let's not forget this, for about 8 years, you worked, you actually made money here.
Yeah.
And you had your own office.
And you had your own office.
Yes, 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 yes. But no, I never...
Do you know that at one point in time, D-Train, and I shudder at the thought...
He was a figure of authority?
Well, kind of.
Over the van driver?
And he actually made... I almost want to vomit saying this. He actually made more money than you.
Oh, I can believe that.
And I mean a lot more money. And he let it all go out the
door. Well, he was a department head.
He was! Sorry about that, folks.
Well, you know, now you got me all, now you got me lost on this thing because look, man,
you know, remember
when
you used to have to take the van to do remotes? Are you telling me you were cranking it in the van? Are you is that what you're telling me?
He's saying he never did it here.
No,
I never did it.
In this building.
I did not masturbate or pleasure myself out of love or anger in this building.
Okay. In the building.
How about out of melancholy?
Not in any of the station vehicles. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Restrooms.
While
on the clock. Okay.
Property
no,
in
no,
general?
No. No.
You had to think about it for a second.
No.
Out on the drain field?
Now, maybe been on a camping trip.
Is that why you'd volunteer for Brock's Hot Closet out back?
All right. Yeah, you know.
On a camping trip?
In the woods. You know? Nature sometimes gets me excited.
A squirrel.
But what?
Not in this building, Stan. Not in the vehicles.
You know, he seems to be quite selective.
Wow.
Random hotel rooms. Elevators.
You're too much information
I'm
now.
Just telling you.
Elevators.
You're
how
just
about
wanting,
escalator or moving sidewalks?
You want to know. Not where the public can witness.
That's not a no.
I had a problem at one point. Haney.
I think that's admirable that you're willing to admit that. Maybe that helps people.
Yeah, with their problem of anger and melancholy.
And, you know, Stan knows way too much about me, so there's no sense trying to hide it. I've never done that. Alone.
Right!
I don't think it would fall under that category at that point.
No, because we're not talking about, you know, we're talking about self.
I got you.
Not if, you know, a
mutual.
A Fraulein.
I mean, I've done things.
Yeah, well.
I've had many help by the women, yes.
What the?
At work?
At work?
No. Not at
We're
work.
Talking about at work.
You just did the study.
Years ago, Dave. What?
I was going to say, I had an experience one time where
you said you had a problem.
Well, where they store golf carts.
Putt-putt?
No, not a putt-putt. It was at a reputable golf establishment.
A country club. You decided to masturbate at a country club.
Outdoors, it gets to him.
Okay.
Right next to golf carts?
Which hole?
Okay. You know, like Bill Murray and Caddyshack, you know? I mean, the guy, you know?
In the cart house?
Where they store the carts, yes.
The groundskeeper building?
So what, boys?
As he goes on and on. I know what you mean now, Haney. He's digging himself deeper and deeper and deeper. You can't even help him. He's got that
what
shovel,
you, what are you
and
talking?
He's going
what,
deeper
what am
into
I,
the ground.
What, you know what, man? You know what? I speak the truth, bro.
Why don't and you I take a cold shower?
I guarantee you there's a lot of people out there have done way worse than me and,
I don't
and,
know
and
about
something
it.
Else.
They're not on a 100,000-watt radio station sitting there going all batty-eyed talking about they had a problem by a golf cart.
Well, at least they're saying, you know what? That guy's legit.
You know what? And I bet that cart barn you were in wasn't even a virgin.
I guarantee you it wasn't.
Well, how would you know that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Where were you in there? In there for a circle?
Cookie.
Haney.
Haney, take a break.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly from the Fox News Channel with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill.
Does that do anything for you, Dave?
Yeah, D-Train showed him a line of golf carts.
He won't even look.
A 46-year-old gent by the name of Robert Lee Thomas Jr.
Oh, come on.
Was stopped by law enforcement in Vero Beach earlier this month.
Uh-oh.
For riding his bicycle at night without a light.
Yeah, remember that when you take your island cruiser over to Cape Chaos. Hey, just a little while, ride my bike.
The officers saw him toss something and heard metal hit the ground. Turns out that was a loaded magazine for a handgun. So they searched his pockets and, well, what do we have here? 3 rocks of crack cocaine, which he immediately claimed not his. Not mine.
No.
That's what pretty much standard procedure when anyone's caught with drugs.
Yeah,
they're
mine.
Not mine. So Robert, realizing they weren't buying what he was selling, switched gears. And then said, not only are the drugs not mine, these aren't even my shorts.
What?
Apparently the cops entertain the idea and ask the man, well, if they're not your shorts, how long have you been wearing them and who did you get them from? But... Well, I was pushing it a little beyond Robert's mental capacity at the time, and he blew it, facing charges for drug possession and resisting arrest.
That was good news?
Yeah. Oh, I could give you some sappy story and waste your time with it, or I could get right to the meat.
What is it with these new mugshots? They put everybody in a smock. He's confused, that guy.
A 19-year-old woman in Highland Heights, Ohio, went on a date last week with a gentleman by the name of Eric.
Okay.
She did not know his last name. They'd met a few weeks earlier at the DMV.
Oh, yeah, that's a hot place. Waterman has met a few there at the DMV.
Well, Eric took this young lady out to a Japanese restaurant.
Oh.
And apparently, he didn't feel the date was going all that well because Eric snuck out and left the young lady with the bill.
Jeez.
Now, she was willing to go ahead and pay for the meal.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she'd left her purse in his car, so she was unable to pay, and that got the police involved. They called Eric, or at least the number she had for him, but strangely, He wasn't answering or returning several phone calls. The police don't want to press charges against the girl, so they say they're still investigating.
Right. She's blameless.
And that's, you know, dine and dash.
So, and they haven't caught him yet, nope. Eric.
No. Nope. If that is his real name.
Right.
Now that's a dine and dash with a twist. I don't know what you call this. 31-year-old Nicole Brown of St. Petersburg arrested this week for skipping out on her Botox bill.
Jeez.
She got about $870 worth of injections from a plastic surgeon. And, you know, you're supposed to pay as you go with them. When it was time to pay, she said, oops-a-daisy, she'd left her credit card in the car. Just drove away. And she did this because it's a proven winner. It's the second time she's received a series of Botox injections without paying. Different plastic surgeon back in September was presented simply with a bad check. The police tracked her down on Wednesday, and she is now facing grand theft charges.
Unbelievable. What are you doing?
Listening to Haney's stories.
No, you're not. What are you drawing there so everybody pays attention and say what a great artist you are?
Shut up.
Show Uncle Haney.
It's very nice.
Who's that supposed to be? You?
No.
Is that a self-portrait?
Shut up. No.
Why can't you celebrate his talent? Are you that jealous?
Obviously he is. Yeah.
Oh, is that the Botoxer?
Yeah, with her penciled-in eyebrows.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry so much about your appearance.
No. You're a good artist, Dave.
Would you take that out, Dave?
Yeah, would you take her out?
Nope.
Yeah, you would.
No, I would.
Botox is not doing her any favors.
No.
That girl looks like a Klingon.
Well, once she gets her makeup on and stuff, she'll look pretty enough for you.
I doubt that, Stan.
Well, you have to understand, Dave, Stan's standards for you are a lot lower than your standards for you. What he thinks is acceptable is a different level.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill. Thieves in Western Australia wanted to siphon a bunch of gas out of a tour bus last week.
Rock on.
They snuck up to the bus in the middle of the night, stuck a hose in the gas tank, and started sucking on it to get the gas flowing.
Uh-oh.
There was a problem.
Yeah.
They had located the hose in the wrong storage tank. Instead of siphoning gas, they were sucking raw sewage from the storage tank.
Oh, my God.
The investigating police sergeant says, quote, we can infer they made a hasty retreat with a somewhat bitter taste in their mouth.
I think they call that gray water.
They went into and siphoned
raw sewage
out. Raw sewage.
Yep. Thought they were sucking out some gas, and that ain't what came out. And that's not even watered down.
No, and it's all chemically treated.
Yep, that's not even watered down. It just straight, full strength.
Straight sewage.
Yep. Not like a water-based toilet. No, that's 100% full strength.
Yep.
And that's the news for today. I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
And the next president of these United States of America.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney.
Mark, thank you very much. News has been brought to you by Jason and Todd of the Diamond District. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Why do the best-looking girls have real ugly friends? It seems like it always works like that. You'll meet a queen, a girl of your dreams, and she'll have a friend that's really fat. But you decide to take a chance, this could be a great romance. If only she could just get rid of her. She's my cousin from the east, and I know that she's a beast. And I don't think that this is gonna work. So you take a dimple out while you try to figure out how can I dump the pig? It's been $70, but thanks for looking up. She just said she wants to make it big. Now the problem is this, every time we hug and kiss, her friend says, I want to go home.
Dump the pig.
And we want her too, but we don't know what to do. And that's why it's time for this song. Why do the best looking girls have real ugly friends? It seems like it always works like that.
Yeah!
Oh, you'll meet a queen, the girl of your dreams, and she'll have a friend that's really, really fat. Every time you make your play, you'll find out there ain't no way to make love to Beauty and the Beast. Why do the best looking girls have these real ugly friends? Does this only happen to me? Now I'm so hot I could smother, cause they've both gone home to mother. Does this only happen to me?
Let's laugh some more, thanks to Firehouse Subs at the Forum, Fort Myers.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96K-Rock.
Last year was a sad year for my family. Last year my mom should have been celebrating her 60th birthday. But because of drugs, alcohol, and other terrible decisions, we all forgot. I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved my mother. She was my mom, of course, I loved her. We fought a lot. My mom could be very racist. And I do not tolerate racism. That's ignorance, and I hate that. Like, when I was a kid, like 9 years old, I'd come home after school. Every once in a while, I'd bring a friend over to play with me at my house. Every once in a while, I'd bring a black friend over. And whenever I did that, my mom would act all weird. She'd pull me aside and say, Anthony, who's your new friend? Is he a drug dealer? And I would say, shut up, Mom, that's racist. Put your money away.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. Leave you this afternoon with this. Ahoy.
Hey, Baba.
Ah, oh, jeez. Well, if it isn't the pussy of Pondella.
What?
Nothing, brother. How are you? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounded to me like you might have been piping off there a little bit.
What do you mean?
I thought I heard maybe you called me a name or something.
Well, the pussy of Pondella. Out on bail, are you?
Man, you are something else.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that. You know, you're a loyal listener. I mean, you go back to the Joe days when I was too good to shake your hand.
I love Joe. That is a piece
hey!
Well, I guess y'all better mind my P's and Q's around you.
Yeah, well.
Because that you were in some sort of gang up in Chicago, Illinois. No, you killed a man.
No, not brother.
No, Bitcher said that somebody up there in Chicago, Illinois had shot a 6-year-old boy and that there was a big gang truce. And that you and everybody went after some bitch and shot this child.
No. You see, you're listening to what he's saying to you. You didn't hear. We had a caller call in when we were talking about the 6-year-old that was shot in little Pakistan down here. And we wondered, is there retribution if you shoot a kid and you're in a gang? And that guy was in a Chicago gang back in the 80s. And he told us, yes, there is. They hold a truce and then they go after him.
Well,
now, get your facts straight. The liver spot of Laurel Drive. Yeah.
Spit it out, Mary.
Who's Mary?
You are.
I'm not Mary.
Why don't you put on a skirt and dance for me, tough guy?
Why are you coming at me? You know, certainly.
You call me a name.
Have you ever been in a gang? Have you ever been in a gang?
Well, now, I had to hear all about it the other night from Bitchard talking about when he was in a gang.
Bitchard was in a gang? Was he in a gang or was he in a club?
I don't know what you call it, but didn't see his problem is he's... He's dumb enough to get caught.
Bitchard got caught?
Oh, yeah. A while ago, several years, actually, they picked Bitchard up, rolled right up around Umatilla.
And, yes.
What happened is they took him by surprise, mm-hmm. and he was getting a little too, loosey-goosey,
uh-huh.
and he forgot to rat hold the dope.
Uh-huh.
And
they caught
and
him.
They caught him because he was about halfway done. And when they went to search him, he was like turtle head.
You know what? You've been such a buddy and a loyal listener for so long. And I still feel bad that, you know, I was too good to shake your hand back in the, you know, early 90s. Can I set aside a couple of Cape Chaos tickets for you for this Saturday night? You want to all day? You want to go see some rock music?
Well, what all happened there? Is some kind of big rave?
Yeah, you know, no, we're a radio station. We're throwing a big concert. We've got music going all day long. You know where Sunsplash is in Cape Coral?
Yeah,
that's where we're having the show on Saturday. We're all going to be out there, and, maybe you can take your brother Rocky with you and come on out.
Rocky. I do that. You want me to come up there and see you there?
No, I will leave tickets for you at the gate. Look,
how much you want?
How much I want what? No, I'm leaving you tickets.
Well, I'm talking about your cut.
I'm not taking a cut of anything.
Well, why the hell would I be going to some sort of rock show or rave if I'm not working? I figure we go out and, sell some party favors.
No, don't say that to begin with. 18%.
18%. All right.
We good on that? Now, what name do I put the tickets under?
Mr. App. Now, when I go to give you your take, how you want me to handle it?
Don't know. We're not going to do it on the grounds. Are you familiar with Dave the Waterman, who's on the show?
Who?
Dave
the Waterman. Are you talking about the cool guy?
Yeah, the cool guy. The cool guy on the show.
Yeah, rocker. Rock and roll.
Yeah, him. I will have him.
Yeah, I like that subject.
All right, I'm going to have him come over to your place afterwards, and he'll collect.
What, you want to come over here and party?
Yeah, he'll probably party with you.
Yeah, well, I was going to say a word I can't say.
Yeah, so I'll have him come over to your place.
Does he like girls?
Yeah, he likes girls. You going to have girls over at your place?
Because I'll use girls instead of the word that I wanted to say. Tell him we got some fine girls up here for them.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.